Then he cried just south of Nashville, and he turned that car around. He said,
"This is where you get off, boy, 'cause I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank." He said, "Can you
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, maybe if we have some time, we'll get to your text, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, taking a break from a Judiciary Committee hearing, markup for the reauthorization of Section 707 of the NDAA, but making time for this program, Barry Moore, Congressman from the 2nd Congressional District, vying for that Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District in these newly redrawn lines. He faces Jerry Carl. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I am doing fine, Jeff. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, and I appreciate you making time for us. I'm glad you could come and talk to this audience this morning. Well, the first question to lead off here, just your reaction to Kevin McCarthy as kind of announcing an abrupt departure from the his post in the House.
Yeah, a little disappointed. I'd heard the rumors that he may do that, and my concern is with those who voted to get rid of Santos last week. McCarthy's talking about leaving at the end of the year. That continues to tighten our majority in the House for the Republicans. And, you know, I think I don't know much about it. I read what was basically reported, Jeff, that Kevin said he was going out to recruit candidates. But right now, the biggest thing for the party, I think, certainly for those of us who are trying to save the nation and turn the direction of this thing, is to have all hands on deck here in D.C. and votes, trying to get the wins that we need to show the American people that come November, that they need to hire us again to continue the fight. So I'm a little disappointed in that. I mean, I know everybody has their own reasons for doing things. I haven't spoken to Kevin directly about it, but for me, as tight as the majority is and will be now that he is leaving, it just concerns me that we're continuing to, you know, just cut our margins, and it makes it tougher and tougher on the new speaker and for those of us who want to make a difference for the American people.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see how this plays out. If it, you know, he's leaving at the end of the year, would they do a special election? We don't know, but I hadn't even considered the possibility of how tight the margins are. Santos out, and that seat's probably going to go Democrat. What would I have to think after this? You really are kind of working from behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I mean, we just hurt ourselves, and it never ceases to amaze me, the circular firing squad that we are sometimes as a party. We have to, you know, look, there's a mass humanity, and I've said this before on your show, that are looking for conservative leadership, for people to make a difference. But when you cut the margins and you get rid of your own before there's before any kind of convictions, and, you know, before anything is done, before there's a conviction, and then you have some leave, I just don't know. It makes it tougher for us to do our job, my friend. And so, we need everybody, all hands on deck. We're going to stay in the fight. Those of us in House Freedom Caucus will continue to do our job, but it'd be nice to have enough of a majority to hold the Democrats at bay, especially when you got one or two members that might be out sick or they have a family emergency. Then you just can't have votes on the floor.
Congressman, let's kick it off here. I'm going to ask you this probably every time you're on, but how is the campaign going for you?
You know, going well, Jeff. We were down in Baldwin County a good bit. We're going to be down there in the next few weeks as well, and working every chance we get. And of course, I tell everybody, you know, you get two for the price of one on our team. So my wife, Heather, who travels with me very often, she's doing speaking events and engagements and getting to know folks in the area. But so far, I have been hearing good things, and I think our voting record has helped us in a lot of ways. I know I'm House Freedom Caucus, and I'm the most conservative member from Alabama. And not only that, I mean, our office was rated the most effective congressional Republican from Alabama in my freshman year. So I think that we've proved that you can be effective and conservative at the same time. And so we're hearing good things. So I am encouraged. I am certainly encouraged. And we certainly look forward to continuing the campaign process, getting to know the people in areas that we haven't served prior to this current redistricting. But, hey, we've done a good job, and I'm proud to run on my record.
What up? And this may be just a, you know, your perspective here, but what are you finding that do you have to tailor a message any different than what you've been doing to this point, different from the Wiregrass when you come into Mobile and Baldwin County? I mean, is there Is there anything you're learning or that it works here better than it does anywhere else?
No, you know, I think the thing that works well is just if you look at the district, it went from one of the 75th most conservative district in the nation. District 1 will now be the 6th most conservative district in the nation. So as you begin to see how conservative that district's going to be, and when you know you're the most conservative guy from Alabama based on CPAC's ratings last year, you just talk about that. You don't have to – listen, we're all America first for the most part. We love this country. We're patriots. We believe in the Constitution and the rights of the American citizens granted in the Constitution. And so for us, it's just staying on message and letting people know who we are. I think it resonates well that we need to put America first and that President Trump needs to be our nominee, and he needs to be the President of the United States, and he needs people that he knows he can count on, Jeff, when the rubber hits the road, not just fair weather friends, but people who are in the fight with him to direct it, to correct the direction of the nation. And so I just think that's important that people understand that, the fight is not in Washington, D.C. at this point in America. It's with Washington, and we have to understand who the enemy is, and it's this government that's coming after the American people that's trying to arrest the political opponents. And those are the people we've got to keep an eye on, and that's the work we must do, and that's the message that resonates. Because most of the people, when I did town halls, I did 14 of them last August, or the August before last, the number one message I get, even now when I'm going out in the district, is the fear of the federal government and it being weaponized against citizens who have conservative ideas, who have the opposing viewpoints with the government. Why would the FBI be spying on pro-life Catholics or, you know, labeling parents at school board meetings as terrorists? Those are the kind of things that concern us for the future of this country. And so those are the issues we talk about. Everybody seems to understand those, and we get it.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program, seeking the Republican nomination in the 1st Congressional District against Jerry Carl election, or primary day, I should say, March 5th next year. Congressman, let's move on to this, and let's talk your perspective. What's going on with Ukraine funding? Where do things appear to be within the chamber right now?
So I think that the chamber may be slow to wait to the will of the American people, but you know, I haven't voted for the supplemental funding to Ukraine. We got a border wide open. The southern U.S. border is wide open right now, and we're sending money to Eastern Europe to secure a border over there. And the last supplemental was $40 billion. Of course, I voted against that as well. I voted against all of them because I think that if people are waking up that this, you know, this America last approach to the uniparty here in Washington, D.C., where we want to send all these funds to other countries, we're going to borrow money from China to send to Ukraine, it just does not make sense. And so I think it's going to be tough for them to get any more money for Ukraine at this point. I think the House has to hold the line. I think that Speaker Johnson has made it clear that the first border we need to be securing is the border in the U.S. That is the biggest threat right now currently to the U.S., and that's something that we can address rather quickly, and we can implement metrics, and we need to pass H.R. 2, the bill that's passed out of House. We need to make sure we hold the Senate's feet to the fire on this and make sure that people understand that it's okay to take care of these other nations, Jeff, but if America goes down, the world is going to be less safe because of it. And it's just like flying in a jet airplane. When the oxygen mask drops from the ceiling, the first thing you do is put it on the adult, and then you reach and take care of the children. We need to put America's oxygen mask on right now, get on our feet, get our place, our house in order, secure our own U.S. southern border before we can help our allies around the globe.
What do you think the appropriate U.S. policy or position or handling of Ukraine ought to be? I mean, you ask any Republican on Capitol Hill, I mean, you got to get a different answer, but like how should the United States approach that situation?
Stop writing blank checks. That'd be the first thing. I mean, we need to make sure, number one, that there's oversight with this money. I mean, I have talked to soldiers, U.S. soldiers who have delivered equipment into fields at night, American equipment and technology, and the next morning it would be gone, and we don't know who got it or where it went. Those are not the kind of things we need to be spending billions of dollars on in a foreign country where we have no oversight. And so the first thing is accountability. I mean, granted, Putin might be a horrible guy, but Zelensky may not be such a great guy either. And if he's shutting down churches and stopping elections, he's just another tyrant. We're going to set up a nation that's not a democracy, and we're going to continue to send billions. Those guys, you know, look, the American people expect more out of us. And with inflation like it is and us printing money and it hurting the American consumers and our border wide open and we can't hit our recruitment goals here in the U.S., we got some issues we need to take care of here at home, like I said earlier. before we worry about another nation that we're not even sending oversight, we're just sending blank checks to. It makes no sense to us. So oversight would be one of the things that would start, certainly with any funds that we send. And then there has to be adjustments on how that is managed. But right now, I'm an over on any money for Ukraine.
Do you give any credence to this suggestion that the U.S. has to make a bold stand here because it would send a message to our adversaries if we did not, that the U.S. is a paper tiger or whatever? I don't know that I necessarily buy that, but that's sort of what whenever I ask people who are very, very hawkish on this question, that's sort of the response they give.
The boldest stand we can take is electing Donald Trump. None of this would have happened. You would not have had the invasion in Ukraine. You would not have had Hamas. You would not have China rattling sabers in Taiwan if we would elect a president who actually truly leads and is willing to execute on a plan. The fact that Biden and his administration left $85 billion behind of equipment in Afghanistan and just disappeared, That was the message that made America look like a paper tiger. It's not just sending blank checks and printing money, because every time our credit score is downgraded around the globe, brother, there are people that start looking at moving away from the U.S. dollar. And that, you talk about a black swan event. We have got to get a handle on spending here. And these CRs that just continue the funding at Pelosi and Biden and Schumer's levels that reward failure across the country and around the globe, if you reward failure, you'll simply get more failure. We have to start managing this process, Jeff. And so electing Donald Trump would be one way to say, we're not a paper tiger. We're here for real. We're America first, and we're going to stop this. But right now, just sending money to a foreign country that our kids are going to have to figure out how to pay back, and our grandkids, and it's going to lower our debt score, our credit score, that sends the wrong message in many, many ways, I think, to the people around the world.
Congressman, on the question of Ukraine funding, so and there's a school of thought out there, or tie this to border funding, if Democrats, who appear to be the most vociferous supporters of sending more money to Ukraine, it kind of a bizarre juxtaposition from where they were, say, 2006 or whatever, but like, would you tie this to border funding? Would that be an appropriate way to say, hey, we'll give you on Ukraine, but you're going to have to put something toward the southern border here?
I just think we absolutely have to. First things first, we have to take care of the southern border. Those need to be standalone issues. They shouldn't be coupled together. And I think that we passed H.R. 2 out of the House, and we need metrics too. You just can't pass laws with this administration because they will violate the laws, but not another dime to Ukraine. And certainly it should not be tied to the U.S. southern border and our national security. Those are separate issues. They need to be standalone issues. We cannot let them poison pill this process. We've made that clear to the Speaker, House Freedom Caucus. Many of us met with the Speaker a week or two ago, and we're like, sir, don't couple these two together. Keep them separate. I think the Speaker will do that. And you know, certainly, like I said, it ought to be the issue. The southern border ought to be the issue right now that we're running on as Republicans, as conservatives. You know, there is just no doubt there is an invasion already, and it's happening right here in America. On our own soil, we shouldn't be looking to Eastern Europe and other places. We've got problems of our own we got to remedy, and they shouldn't be tied together in funding in any kind of way, Jeff. We have the majority in the House. We need to hold them on.
Does the supplemental providing funding for Israel, where does that figure into this?
So I think that Israel, we've already worked out a deal. We know we've carved that money out of the IRS budget. I mean, there is money there with that 86,000 new IRS agents that Pelosi wanted to hire to come after the American citizens, and that Biden and Schumer are all happy. The money there, we just carve out. In other words, there are offsets for that. So we need to send money to Israel. And listen, if you look at our history, Jeff, we sent more money in Ukraine in the last 30 months than we've sent to Israel since almost, I mean, the numbers are almost staggering, but since 1948, since Israel became a nation, in the last 30 months, we've sent just shy of the amount of money we sent Israel since they've existed. So that just puts it in just a common sense approach that, hey, Israel's our ally in the region. They need our support. We can carve it out of the IRS funding. And why are we sending blank checks to Ukraine? Those are separate issues, and they should stand alone. But for certainly, there are ways to fund Israel. We've already approached that. We've passed it out of the House. Schumer and us, we need to hold the Senate and those folks accountable for this. And these deals that are cut with the four corners and closed doors don't need to exist. We need to go to conference on these things and make sure that the Senate and the House has input.
Well, and we're kind of winding down on this, Congressman, but I like it's the biggest mystery to me is why, and I know this is a question for a Democrat, but you're in that chamber with these guys. Why is Ukraine such a big deal, do you think, to the Democrats right now?
Jeff, I you know, for the life of me, I cannot wrap my head around why they continue to send money to make wars in foreign countries. I just don't quite understand that. And I would love to ask some of my Democrat friends, and they'll always use Russia as an excuse. But, you know, I try to remind them that, oh, by the way, we were buying oil from Russia at the same time we were funding Ukraine to fight them. And so it just made no sense to me, and I have yet to figure that out. And, you know, Biden's energy policy created a lot of the problems in Afghanistan, and certain, I'm not in Afghanistan, but in Ukraine, because when he shut down this Keystone pipeline here and gave Russia a green light on Nord Stream 2, he funded Putin's ability to make war. And so the fact that we were buying oil from Russia while sending money to Ukraine to fight Russia, those are the kind of things you can't make up, but they don't make sense. And I think the American people are starting to wake up and go, yeah, Putin's bad, but Zelensky may not be the saint that he claims to be. And certainly the billions and billions of dollars that we've sent over there with no accountability, I think the American people are saying enough is enough. And I think that, again, if you can get a Democrat to explain it to me, let me know what they say, because I'd be curious to see the answer to that one.
Well, the next time I get a Democrat on, I'll run that question by him. Hey, Congressman, you're very kind. Hopefully to get you on again real soon, but we'll talk again. Thanks for making time for us.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
That was Congressman Barry Moore. He represents 2nd Congressional District, but is now running in the 1st against Jerry Carl. Got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. You big talking.